reading to you from Romans, the 13th chapter and the 14th verse. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provisions for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. Good evening, my dear listening friends. Again, this is Evangelist Cecil Moe. And as you know, I'm a converted alcoholic, gave my heart to Christ over 55 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington. Then 1 year later, God called me to preach. Well, I've been sharing Christ ever since. Oh, my dear friends, I wish you would have been with me and my wife last week. I wasn't feeling very good, but boy, howdy, how God blessed in those two prison services. 27 men gave their hearts to Christ. I tell you, friends, we're seeing a revival in prisons. You say, well, listen, these people are in trouble. And we tell them that this Christ that we serve can forgive sins and give them eternal life. Can't beat that, can you? Well, listen, I'll be with you for half an hour. Why don't you just kick off your slippers, sit back and relax, pour you a glass of iced tea or maybe a lemonade. Let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? Well, my dear friends, I've got my lemonade here in my studio, and I've got my Bible, and I've got you people's listeners. Who could ask for anything more? If you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to the 10th chapter of Romans, and let's read the 14th and the 15th verse. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Label this, what's a missionary to do? Well, this text explores a great missionary chapter. Tells us in verse 1, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel that they might be saved. Paul's desire, oh, friends, listen, just think, just months before that, Saul, his name was Saul then, was persecuting Christians, putting him in prison, consenting to the death of many of them. And now God saved his soul, converted him, and now Paul's desire is that Israel might be saved. See, today's text is one for soul winners, verse 9 and 13. That if thou shalt confess with the mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, and believe that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Friends, listen to me. Listen to me. These questions stress the urgency of missions. You know, the sad thing that really tears me up, and I'm not bragging about my denomination. Yes, I am. Yes, I am going to brag just for a minute. But my denomination can't get you into heaven. Only Jesus can do that. But You know, we have a mission program second to none. All our churches and our associations give to the cooperative program, and then when a man or woman feels called to the mission field and they qualify, then they are supported from all the churches. Now, most churches, they'll pick out two or three missionaries and they'll support them. But instead of supporting three missionaries, we support thousands. No, I like our program a lot better. Then the question is, how shall they call? How shall they believe? How shall they hear? Now, the strategy of missions is sending and speaking, verse 15. And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. What do these sent ones do? Well, let's look at verse 15. And it says, again, how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. You know, I told you people that when I first got saved, every Sunday when the offering tray come around, I gladly reached in my billfold and pulled out my dollar and put it in the offering tray. I was helping support the preacher, the church, and I was helping support missions. Oh, my friends, that was a fallacy. If every Christian in America and in the world started tithing, we wouldn't have to do anything but just send them and go. Our feet enables us to travel. They take us across the street or around the world. Missionary work is about going. Now, it tells us here in Matthew 28, very familiar. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Listen, not just preaching, but also teaching, and to teach all nations, not just America, but all around the world. Friends, I'll tell you right now, there is nothing. I thought I knew something about missionary work, and I thought I knew quite a bit about missions. But boy, you know, when I got my eyes opened, when I went to Japan for 2 weeks to preach, I'll tell you, I got my eyes open. See, the missionaries over there from different denominations, they work together. They don't do it in here. Our churches, we're so divided. If you're a Baptist, you believe different in the Church of Christ or so on. So we don't get along. We don't fellowship like we should. Well, that's not the way God wants it to be. Go ye therefore unto all the world. And that's exactly what we're supposed to do. In Mark 16:15, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, not just the whites, not just the blacks, but to all. And he tells us in, excuse me, thank God for lemonade. Acts 1:8, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and into the uttermost parts of the world. Dear friends, listen to me. That's a command. We are to do that. Missionary work demands a worldwide vision, not just our local. Hey, did you know what? This is going to shock you to death. Did you know that Japan and other countries are sending missionaries to America because America is almost godless anymore. Even our president won't even allow this prayer time, this week of prayer. No, he doesn't. He thinks his prayer is going to do it. Friends, listen. There's too many false gods in the world today. People are following false gods. There's only one God. And friends, he is calling even tonight. Maybe, perhaps, someone listening to this broadcast tonight, God is beginning to tug at your heart. He's beginning to tell you, friend, you're making a lot of money, you're doing this and you're doing that, but you're not doing anything for missions. You know, I have two nephews who bought my brother's business after his health failed. And they piled that thing into a $1 billion business. Just recently, they sold their business. Guess what my nephew is doing? He's 68 years old. He goes all over the world, pays his own way, and helps builds ministries for, I forget the name of the ministry, but, and in fact, he was just here the other day, and he just left for Indochina, or Indonesia, I should say. He's been in France, he's been in Germany, he's been in England, and he pays his own way. See, now, God prepared him through his business, and that way he don't have to charge anybody anything. You don't find too many people doing that anymore, I'm telling you for sure. Now, missionary talks. Now, in verse 15 again, and how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Well, missionaries are to talk to people. They talk to people in real life situations, daily contacts. They talk to people about physical and spiritual issues. Missionaries' work is more than gathering statistics. Missionary work is about loving people. Oh, my friends, it's about meeting people where they are. Well, you say, well, Cecil, God didn't open the door for me to go overseas. Well, maybe he didn't. But my stars, dear friend, you can be a missionary right in your hometown. Oh, listen, I go up to my bank and I have more fun with those people. They knew where I stand. They know that I preach Jesus. I've given them books. I've given them movies. I've given them film. Not because I'm a great man. I'm not. But because I really, really, really want to reach people for Christ. Now, missionaries transform lives with the gospel. Oh, my stars. Well, of them that preach the gospel of peace, that's what we're supposed to preach. Missionaries have a message that changes people. And it's a message for troubled hearts. Oh, friend, it's a message that brings peace with God. It's a message that brings inner peace. This message is the gospel. Delivering any other message is not missionary work. I told you about the three young ladies that was saved in our crusade there in Japan. Did you know they were saved in the morning? And that night we were all evangelists and were to meet in this big church in downtown Japan there. And they came to me and they said, Cecil, could I give a testimony tonight? They were saved in the morning, but that night they wanted to share what had happened to them. And I said, you sure can. And they got up, all three of them, and they said, first of all, we want to thank you Americans for bringing Jesus to Japan. And they went on and on and on. Friends, that's what missionary work's about. Well, let me ask you this question. What is the gospel? Well, in 1 Corinthians 15:3-4, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he arose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Now, Christ died for why? He died for your sins. He died for my sins. And he was buried and rose again according to Scripture. You know when Jesus gave his life? No, they didn't take it. And they buried him in that big old bar tomb. And they thought, well, we're going to shut this guy up now, once and for all. And so they went ahead and they went and put a great big stone and all that. And they even got some guards out there to be sure no one was going to take the body. Well, they were in for a big surprise, weren't they? Because the third day he came forth from the grave. And he was seen by 350 to 400 of his disciples before he ascended up into heaven. And when he was going up, this white angel in white said, "Why are you people looking up there in the sky like that? This same Jesus is coming back in like manner." Friends, we haven't seen the best yet. The best yet is that he is coming back. Don't know when. Could be this month. Could be this week. Could be today. Could be tonight. But he is coming back. You say, "Oh, how do you believe that?" Well, don't you remember they prophesied that the birth of Jesus and being born in a barn and all these things? That has been fulfilled. The rapture has not yet been fulfilled, but it's fastly coming on the scene. Now, years ago, I think it was the Seventh-day Adventists, said that Jesus was going to come back in 1917, and they sold everything and got ready for his return, but he never came back. Now, you see why they did. They were telling people a lie. The Bible says he will come as a thief in the night. No man knoweth the hour he comes. God the Father is the only one that knows when Jesus will return and rapture his church. You say, "Well, wait a minute. You say rapture his church?" Yeah, he's going to rapture those of us who have repented of our sins and invited Christ into our hearts. They're the only ones that's going to be caught up in the rapture. The rest of the people are going to be left on earth. What a horrible time that would be with the Antichrist. Oh, my dear friends, you have an opportunity tonight to receive Christ as your Savior. That's right. Now, I can't save you. The church can't save you. Baptism can't save you. And good works can't save you. Only Jesus. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." The gospel is good news about the gift of eternal life. Now, I'm going to ask you a very potent question. Have you received this gift? And are you sharing the good news? Friends, listen to me. If you're born again and you have never witnessed or you have never introduced a soul to Christ, I feel so sorry for you, because you haven't got to the, you haven't found it. That is the greatest, beside your own salvation, that's the greatest thing that'll ever happen to you when you lead a soul to Christ. Oh, I remember I led several of my children to Christ. I'll tell you, this was on a Easter Sunday morning. I was to go to a Mount Baker Bible camp, and I was to preach a revival. My little five-year-old girl, every time the invitation was given, she'd sit there and cry, and she said, "I want to go forward and be saved." And we wouldn't go with her. We said, "If you truly are sorry for your sins and you understand, then you will go, because God will lead you there." Well, anyway, this Easter Sunday morning, I was getting ready to go up to Mount Baker to preach. And my heart was so heavy because my little girl was lost. And you say, "You don't mean a five-year-old knows how to be saved?" She did, sure enough. So I said, "Look, every time our family got into a kind of a situation, I'd gather the family and we'd kneel in a circle. and we talked to the Lord. And this morning we did. I called the family together, and we knelt in a circle. And when it was my time to pray, I broke down and I cried, "Oh, God, my little girl, she's 5 years old, and if she would die today, according to what she said, she'd go straight to hell. Oh, God, please, this morning, speak to her little heart." And right there in that circle, my little girl prayed to receive Christ. You say, "Cecil, that's not true." It sure is. Now, at that revival, when I gave the invitation, my little daughter came forward and said that she wanted them to know that she'd accepted Christ. Oh, friends, what a day. What a day of rejoicing that was for me. Years ago, there was a missionary over in Japan, and he noticed a young Japanese man would go out and kneel down before a Shinto idol, crying and and praying. Now, this went on for a week, and the missionary confronted the man and asked him if he could help me. Help him, he said. He said his daughter died a couple of weeks ago, and he could not get relief from his grief. This missionary told him about Jesus, led that young man to Christ, and the man got peace and relief. Friends, I'm telling you, pray for our missionaries. And you know I've said this many times. I get so tired of men who say they're called to preach at churches. They don't go out and they don't visit. They don't train people. And they stand up there and berate the people because they're not doing anything. The Bible said we are to teach and we're to train. A pastor has a tremendously important job, and we all are going to stand before God and give an account for our life. Friends, let me ask you, are you a missionary in your hometown or your church or your home? Are you a missionary? Are you praying for missionaries? Are you sending, giving money toward mission programs? Oh, beloved, listen, you just don't know the blessing that you're missing. You need to do that. Now you say, "Well, Cecil, you know, I don't know why I would do that. I don't even know the Lord." Would you like to know him tonight? Do you have a tugging at your heart and you know God's wanting to come into your heart? Oh, friends, if you do, would you bow your head to me right now and pray this powerful, powerful sinner's prayer? And it goes like this. Dear Lord, in Jesus' name, I confess, Lord, that I'm a sinner. Oh, God, I'm sorry for my wayward life. Tonight, Lord, the best way I know how, I'm opening my heart, and I'm asking you to come in and be my Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer, I want you to get on the phone and call 303-471-8534. I won't use your name on the air. I won't embarrass you. I won't sit down right and ask you for any money. Don't care where you go to church. I'm mainly concerned where you spend eternity. If you'd like to talk to me and you can't afford it, call me, collect. I'll accept the charge. Oh, friends, I don't know all the answers, and I'd be stupid if I said I did. But I know Jesus. I know he reached down in the gutter and saved this old alcoholic. Oh, I thank him so much. Well, friends, please consider what I said tonight. Please pray for missionaries. Please pray for your pastor, that God will put a fire under him, put a burr under his saddle, that he might do what God called him to do. I'm waiting for your call, 303-471-8534. Well, friends, for the past half hour, your host has been Evangelist Cecil Moe. Thank you, dear ones, for listening. Please pray for me and my wife and our health. Oh, you know I don't want to quit serving the Lord in the prisons or anywhere. Pray for our tape ministries that will reach and encourage people I'm not here to jump on you. I want you to have the joy of your salvation. He's willing to give it to you if you let him. Ask the Lord to give you a holy boldness. And ask him to give you souls for your hire. He'll do it. Oh, I know, because I've been praying that prayer for 54 years. Been preaching for 54 years. Well, friend, until it's time next Sunday night, I want you to be good to your neighbors. Stay sweet. Keep looking up for this wonderful, wonderful Jesus is coming soon. Good night, and may God bless you real, real good.